This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 21st, 2021. Passion Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We enter this week into Passion Tide. This week in which we start focusing particularly on what our Lord Jesus Christ endured for our salvation. We don't want to ever get ourselves into this mode where we ask as to why Jesus Christ died on the cross and we just leave it at to save us from our sins. That is the ends of the cross. That is the consequence of the cross. But the means to that end, the necessities for the salvation of our soul, we never want to lose sight of that. Not just focus on it during Passion Tide and Holy Week. But we need to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't, in some ambiguous, ethereal, subjective way, save us from our sins. The means of that salvation was the result of combat. Combat between our Lord Jesus Christ and Satan. This is what we hear about in this passage. Jesus doesn't say, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, because I'm going to hang on the cross and save you from your sins. He says that now the hour has come where the world will be judged and the prince of this world will be cast out. He gives us explicit reason why he hangs on the cross. He's fighting. He's fighting Satan. That's been his earthly ministry. Let me point out that Jesus Christ, if he's anything, in his earthly ministry, he's an exorcist. He's our Lord Jesus Christ casting out demons everywhere. Well, that was just back in the day, they thought when people were sick that, well, actually the scriptures say he healed the sick and cast out demons. The scriptures know, Holy Spirit being God and all whatnot, knows the difference between sickness and possession. Our Lord came to fight demons, and the cross was the culmination. It is why our Lord hanging on the cross said, it is finished. His fight, he won. He overcame. It is finished. You weren't born yet. It's finished for him, not for us. This is the message of the day. Because God glorified himself in his Son, and he says, and I will be glorified. And his Son says that if any man will follow me, or if any man serves me, he will follow me. So just like he fought, we are commanded to fight. This is where a lot of people lose it. They're like, oh, you know, that spiritual warfare thing, I'm just not into that so much. I just go to Mass and everything. That's not enough. You got to fight Satan every single day, because guess what? He fights you. He fights you. And it would be akin, what person in their right mind, and if they had any strength left, would allow somebody to come up to them and just start pummeling them? They wouldn't get up to try to run or put their arms up to defend themselves. Nobody would. That'd be a ridiculous statement. We let Satan do it to us all the time. We're in combat here. If you serve Jesus Christ, you need to follow him. And that means do what he did, and that's fight. And it's going to culminate in your death. Just like him. I'm not going to hang on the cross. It doesn't matter how, you're going to die. And at that particularly important life is when the combat is going to be most difficult. This is why our church has always emphasized that in order to do right by those who are dying is to pray fervently for them. Our church has some really glorious prayers for a holy death for ourselves and others. Because why? Because Satan uses that last time when our faith is weakest, when our physicality is weakest, when our spirits are weakest, to attack us. This is spiritual warfare. And it's a reality. It's as real as our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a piece of wood and was scourged and spat upon. You're going to deal with the same thing in a spiritual sense, but in a literal sense at the end of your life. That's all there is to it. You better be ready for it, or you're going to be the person who lets somebody pummel you and doesn't do a thing about it. You will die. And you don't want to die that death, because that's eternal. This is the reality of our Catholic life. This is why we need to be put on notice. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ puts us on notice, that we are going to be required to fight Satan. It's a must. It's an absolute must. It has been thrust upon us because of our fallen, sinful nature. You know, to complain about it, it'd be like complaining to how come you have blue eyes, okay? Because your parents, one of your parents had blue eyes, all right? Or whatever the physical trait is, it's genetic. Spiritual genetics is we are sin, cursed, and fallen, and separated from God before our baptism. Our struggle starts then. Your struggle isn't before then, because before you're baptized, you are not a friend of God. You are his enemy. You are born dead in trespasses and sins, at enmity with God. This is what the scriptures teach us. This is the reality of our condition. And to deny it is to call the Holy Spirit a liar, or to just stiff arm everything he says because you don't like it. It doesn't matter what you like. It'd be like if a foreign power attacked this country. I don't want to be in a country where there's a war. Tough. There are a lot of people on the face of this planet who are in countries that are involved in wars. Do they want it? No. Do they have to live it? Yep. This is us. We have to live this combat between us and Satan. All right? This is just the reality of things. We got to look at Jesus when we're confronted with something like he was. Did he want it? He Garden of Gethsemane? Sweaty drops of blood? Father, if there is any way you take this chalice from me, not my will, your will be done. He did not want it. He didn't want to be spat on, beat with scourges until less than an inch of his life, crowned with thorns, hit with sticks, punched in the face, and then hung on a piece of wood. He didn't want that. He knew it was necessary. He didn't want it. He asked, Father, if there's any way that I can avoid this, please. He says in that passage of the gospel, now is my soul troubled. Yeah, that'd be an understatement. Did face that? Now my soul is troubled. Well, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause I came to this hour. For this cause we have come to this hour. To fight against Satan. That's your baptism. It started at that hour. The old rite of baptism. Praise God for it. It communicated this to us. Nobody who attended a baptism thought anything different. Because why? There were exorcisms that were placed on the child. Because why? Satan owns their soul. You're innocent. No, they're not. They are Satan's property. That's why we baptize them. We rip them out of his clutches as early as we possibly can. That's why we baptize infants. There were exorcisms in the rite. There were various anointings in the rite. One of which is very profound. It's on the back. It's not done in the new rite of baptism. But in churches where the traditional rite is used, you actually symbolize the cross laid on the child or the adult's back by an anointing between their shoulder blades. It symbolizes the cross that they need to carry from that point on. serving Christ, following him. When we're confirmed, that slap on the cheek that is traditionally done, it indicates the combat of what is expected of you. And there's just one or two things. You either fight or you're a coward. That's all there is to it. Can't have it any other way. There's no middle ground. And it's ugly. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. It's just like real war, if you're doing it right. If you're sitting there, I don't ever feel anything like it's painful or anything like that. We got to sit down and talk. We got to sit down and talk, because the only person that doesn't feel pain is somebody who's dead or unconscious. We in our spiritual warfare need to feel pain interiorly when we sin. It should hurt us tremendously. If nothing else, because if we truly say we love God, we've offended him. We've offended him. It should be painful to us when we do it, no matter how slightly that we've offended him. When we see family members and we're crushed over family members who deny the faith, who start living in heinous lifestyles, who commit mortal sin, seemingly unabated. And they, I run to the confessor, I commit mortal sin again. You can't do that and be fighting. You're not fighting. You're not putting forth any effort. That's why I despise here. I can't. Just be honest and say you won't. It'll be a little easier for us to help you if you just fess up. I won't do this. I won't do that. Not I can't, because you can if you're baptized. This is the struggle. It's reality. I said, when family members or friends are falling by the wayside, it's just like on a battlefield when you see your brothers in arms killed or wounded and you feel bad about it. But guess what? You better not lament over that and pay so much attention to it that you don't pay attention and then you get killed or you are grievously wounded. You have your head in that game, because your enemy, I cannot describe, there's not enough adjectives to describe how much he hates you or how powerful he is. Well, it said in the gospel passage that Satan was cast out. The prince of this world was cast out. It didn't say he went away. He was just cast out of his position of authority. You don't make any mistake about it. Satan had absolute authority on the face of this planet after the fall. Heaven was closed to people who were born into this world until the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven was closed to them. They're enemies with God. That's the reality of it. Oh, it wasn't that bad. Really? Like God didn't have to destroy this place with a flood? Kill every single living creature on it except those who were in the ark? That's how bad it was. And then in his mercy, he would occasionally, on rare occasion, every few hundred years or so, choose an individual and bring him up, raise him up like Moses and Elijah, prophets like that, to do his will. But even the people of God were still corrupt. And Moses' incident, the plagues, the manna, water out of a rock, pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day, miracles right in front of their face, time and time again. And what are they doing every couple weeks? God doesn't love us. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Walk around the desert. We're hungry. We're thirsty. God doesn't care about us. Why? Because Satan had sway over their souls. And Moses, because of God's mercy and God's direction, tried to hold them together and did. God worked sparingly in the Old Testament. Now that Jesus Christ came and the enemies came, Satan hasn't been cast anywhere else. He's been knocked off his throne. We know from the scriptures in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5, he still wanders about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You got to resist. If you don't resist, everything's for naught. Like I said, because your enemy, his abilities are inconceivable to us. I always like watching, I would never suggest it, but occasionally click on Protestant TV. To, you know, I'll always love it. Jesus, I bind you, Satan. You don't bind anything. He will crush you like a grape. The most impish demon is a super being compared to you. You bind nothing. That's all there is to it. We have been given graces and the authority of Christ by our baptisms to withstand and resist. But if you think for a moment that you're powerful enough to do anything about it, you're not. His power is inconceivable. The only thing that exceeds their power is their hatred of you. They despise you. Imagine their condition. They have not been cast into the locality of hell yet. Gehenna, that loathsome dark place of punishment for eternity. They haven't been cast there yet. But because they're super beings, they're angels, okay? They're pure intellect. They know God. And for us, hell is a conjecture. That's why Jesus uses all these worm never dies and the fire is never quenched and all these things. You know, there's just really horrible things that we can think about. We don't really know what hell's about. They do. But what is hell ultimately? Separation from God. How can we understand that? The only thing we know about God is in shadow. Sacraments, the church, his word, prayer. We don't really know him. We never seen him. We just believe in faith. Demons have seen him. They were created with the beatific vision in heaven. And they turned their back on it. They know explicitly and in great suffering detail what it is to be separated from God because they are. And they know it's going to do nothing to get worse. It's going to be worse for them. And they know what's coming. And just like a human enemy in this world, they fight more ferociously when they know the cause is lost. The cause is lost. There's 99% chance I'm not going home, so I'm going to take as many of them with me as I can. They fight ferociously. They're merciless because they're going to pay a price. Humans do that. Demons, they don't have a 99% chance. They know 100% that they're going to spend eternity in hell suffering what they know is torments beyond our imagination, and they're going to do everything that they possibly can to drag you down with them. That's the only solace that they know in this world, is to drag you down with them. And if you don't fight against it, they will. That's just the reality of things. And showing up at Mass on Sunday afternoon, morning, isn't going to cut it. It's like saying, you know, I'll defend myself for 45 minutes on Sunday morning, but I'll let the guy beat me half to death throughout the whole rest of the week. That's the reality of things. We have a real enemy. We're in a real warfare. I think most people understand it most in that whole idea of what I said before about seeing friends and family members. If you have any serious consideration of your faith at all, when family members fall or when you fall yourself, and how bad you feel about that, that's the reality. But it's much more horrible than that. This is what we have to understand about what we're dealing with. And it can sound really overwhelming, but it's not. Do we confront a devil that is the one who attacked our first parents in the garden? He assailed all the Old Testament prophets, horrible deaths. He beset all the apostles and the martyrs and all that. It's real. He does it all the time. And it can sound overwhelming, but you have to appreciate the bestowal of graces on you that happened at your baptism. You've been given graces by our Lord Jesus Christ and your union with him, that grace by which, if you are willing, you can easily resist any temptation if you just use your graces. It is cop-out, I can't, I was overwhelmed, all this stuff. you're just a bad warrior. You're weak, you're lazy. You just call them in the Marine Corps slackers. You're just a slacker, okay? I don't want you around me during the combat because you're gonna die. You can't slack on the battlefield. Our Lord, he says, if you're gonna serve me, you need to follow me. Where did he go? He was lifted up. He's lifted up on the cross. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all things to myself. The same thing applies to us. When people see you fighting, the good fight, as St. Paul calls it, when they see you do that, it's an encouragement. It's more of an encouragement when they can tell that you actually fought, that it's real. I used to walk and travel in circles where the guys who had really cool scars, yeah, people were like, what happened? Yeah, I got shot. I got stabbed. People were like, new guys were on SWAT were, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You're awesome. Because you can go to all kinds of schools and you can have all kinds of skills and everything like that. But if you got scars, man, that's real stuff right there. That's real. The same thing applies to our spiritual warfare. We're supposed to be an example to other people. We're supposed to be an example that we fight every single day. How we deal with problems in this world. Not that our problems go away. As a matter of fact, newsflash, they're going to get worse. But how you deal with them are the scars, the reality of your fight. Our focus in the combat that we have against Satan. Jose Maria Escriva says this, every Christian has to be a flag raised aloft, a light on a lampstand, through prayer and mortification, securely attached to the cross, always and in every situation, a sign to men. When we fight, we're a sign. We got the cool scars. They're good. St. Paul says, I bear the scars of our Lord in my body. It's not something that we do spiritually in heaven. You got to prove. St. Paul brags about it. This is reality. It's reality that has consequences that we cannot imagine as far as negativity. We don't understand the suffering. We don't understand the horrors of hell. The demons do. The demons do, and because of that, that's why they are so ferocious and merciless against you. You got to understand that. Don't sit there and let them beat you. Put your arms up, flee, whatever it might be, fight or flight, do something, because you do not want to be taken by our enemy. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.